Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, exclusive interviews with leading experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes of clinical trials, research, and innovation. I'm your host, Caitlin Bader. Today, we're revisiting an episode from our Derm Dispatch video series, hosted by Chicago-based physician assistant Renata Block. In her most recent episode, Block interviewed Kelly Barda, the president and executive director of the International Topical Steroid Awareness Network. Barda talked through the CDC's new ICD-10 code for topical steroid withdrawal and the patient registry that the International Topical Steroid Awareness Network just launched. The network is also hosting its Healing the Skin We're In Summit, July 24th and 25th at the Mason Event Center in Duluth, Georgia.
Hello, I am Renata Block, and I am the host of Derm Dispatch for Dermatology Times. Today, I have the great pleasure of sitting down with Kelly Barda. She is the president and executive director of ITSAN, which is the International Topical Steroid Awareness Network. We are going to be talking about the new ICD-10 code for TSW, as well as the advocacy work that ITSAN is doing for the community, not only in the United States, but worldwide, and how dermatologists can partner with this amazing organization. Hello, Kelly. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. It's really wonderful to be here. Thank you, Renata.
So I have so many questions for you, and I know our listeners want to hear these answers as well, because the TSW community is speaking loudly, and we finally got an ICD-10 code. I'm so excited for that because I think it's very well needed. And of course, a transition to ICD-11. How do you see these formal diagnostic classifications changing the landscape in the dermatology field, right? Mm-hmm. Establishing patient trust and obviously for the clinicians to provide this evidence-based medicine to get reimbursed for these conditions?
Yes, that's a great question. In fact, I just want to start by saying this ICD-10 approval by CDC just happened earlier this year, and it was such a huge shot in the arm for the patient community because this is something that our community has felt very dismissed, not believed, questioned oftentimes when they go to see their doctor. So having a code in the health system is so much validation for patients. It's like this sigh of relief, like, oh, finally, you know, when my doctor goes to code this, they'll actually find a code and something in the system that they can refer to. So that's a really big deal. This went through three formal reviews, if you can imagine, with the CDC. It took years. It was like a real uphill battle. And in fact, at the end, it was a 50-50 split on the board just because there's still so much unknown around this condition. But we were so thrilled to have the AAD's approval to get this across the finish line, and we can finally start capturing incidence, prevalence. We can look at ways to research this now, because without being able to report it, how do we know how many people this is affecting? You know, how do we know what that patient journey looks like to be able to ask those questions? So right. Not only is this really going to help with research and reporting, but also with coverage for patients, because many people going through this condition, they're on disability, they can't go to work, they can't care for their families, they can't go to school, and there just is no way to get the kind of help that they need. So this is really, really a big win for our community. And I think also on top of the fact that it will help research, it will help the patient, it also is going to provide needed weight to all of the other work that we're doing in this area, especially with the FDA, with clinical care guidelines. There's just a whole gamut of things that need addressing as far as this condition is concerned. So we were really, really thrilled to get that code approved.
Yeah, I think it's a huge step for many reasons that you have mentioned, but I want to talk about the U.S. patient registry, because sure. I think having the ICD-10 now transitioning to ICD-11 is going to allow for that research. Mm-hmm. And creating that patient registry to collect that data, I think, is incredible in regards to the patient-reported outcomes. My question to you specifically is, how do we address the validity gap? Mm-hmm. Between the anecdotal patient reporting or stories and the clinical data, right? Because we have to capture the correct data. And what ways can this registry serve as a preclinical signal detection tool for any adverse drug reactions that traditional phase three studies perhaps miss?
That's a great question. And it was a challenge that the TSW community faced for a very long time. We have been at this for 15 years. And in the beginning, all we had was case studies, a couple of case studies. And that can be easily dismissed, right? As, oh, that's just anecdotal. Oh, that's just fringe, or this is an internet myth. And so putting this registry together was a way for us to look collectively at the patient experience. We spent 4 years working on developing this with a steering committee of expert clinicians, researcher, patient advocates from around the world. It's IRB approved, so it's going to be scientifically rigorous. It's going to be ethical. And then we also have a series of 14 different surveys that were created in a way to look longitudinally at someone's personal experience. And of course, there's going to be limitations with recall bias, right? And there are other factors that play into that. But the fact that we had people who are in research, people who are clinicians helping us develop these surveys, and took a really long time to drill down into the exact questions that we need to look at, the person's medical history, their demographics, and then what did that look like? How long did they take using steroids? What products did they use? And then when they stopped, what happened? What treatments were used during that time? So we're just looking at the entire journey. Right now, we just launched last December. We have around 500 people who have joined the registry. Our goal is around 5,000, because if we can get that pool of data to ask specific questions to, we really feel like we'll be able to identify patterns through people's experience that can be used by scientists. So it really is a platform that we plan to use with researchers in partnerships to try to get a better understanding of the driving factors of this condition. Who is it happening to? When is it happening? What's actually happening in the body? What types of treatments might be helping? So it really is trying to uncover clues, but it is going to take research partnerships.
Yes. Let me ask you, because is this a worldwide registry? Because you have the US registry, which is what we talked about. You want to get the 5,000 people. And we also have to think, again, I'm going back to the eczema, or anybody who uses topical steroids for a condition like eczema. It may be different in somebody who's living in a colder climate versus a warmer climate, so you're going to gather that specific niche data that we need to determine the TSW any protocol in the future. But as far as like a worldwide registry, because I know ITSAN is an international advocacy group. So what are you looking at worldwide to collect outside of the U.S.?
So it actually is an international registry. It's hosted on the National Organization for Rare Diseases, NORD. They have a platform called I Am Rare. We worked with NORD. There's a lot of different groups that do this, just because they have a way to make it easier for small nonprofits like ourselves to go through that process and build it all out. So it is on the platform. It's open internationally. And we really hope to see, yes, if there are certain patterns that pop up in regions like South America or India or Australia, UK, because we know some of these places you can get these products over the counter. A lot of people around the world are using topical steroids in skin lightening creams, which this was something that I became aware of not too long ago, but I was shocked to hear that in Africa, some countries, 30% of people are using skin lightening creams. Many of them have high potency steroids in them. So even beyond the eczema community, this is an issue. This is a problem. India is another big place where this is happening. So yes, that is the hope, that we start to see, are there hotspots for TSW around the world?
So you're looking for 5,000 people collectively throughout the world, right? So the US, again, as far as dermatologists getting involved, I'm going to throw in, how do they introduce patients toward this registry? Because I think it's incredibly important for us to collect this data. Is that something that we can do through your website?
Yes. And I love that you brought that up because, we can do all that we can through our socials, through our emails to try to get the word out about this registry. But partnering with dermatologists and healthcare professionals who are going to guide patients to become part of this registry itself is such a beautiful thing because not only is it the clinician, and we're going to talk about this probably a little bit later, building trust with that patient by acknowledging that this is a thing. And if you believe that you're going through this, this is a way for you to get involved in the research and let's together look for answers. So, yes, if you point them at dermatologists, physician's assistants, anyone points their patient who believes they have TSW to the ITSAN website. On the website, you can see a little tag in the top right corner that says Take Action. You click on that, and when you go there, you can say Participate in Research. And then you click on that, and we'll talk all about what the research is about, what kind of information we'll collect, and then there's a link that people can connect and get involved. So
Love it.
it's a bit of a time commitment, but the thing is, it's going to take all of us really participating to get down to the bottom of this and find answers. So
Yeah, and letting our patients know that it takes a village,
yes,
right?
100%.
Takes a
Yes.
village. And that's exactly why I created this podcast, is because, this is going to be listened to by dermatology providers, whether it's a dermatologist or an NP or PA. But even if it's a medical assistant or the front office staff, it takes a village for us to take care of these patients. And then
Yes.
bringing in advocacy groups just like yours is just going to help the patient population who are suffering from these chronic conditions, to get us some answers so we can help treat them.
Yes, I wanted to bring up one other point here.
Yes.
One of the big debates around this condition of TSW is there's a lot of overlap, especially appearance-wise, in severe eczema. And it's been one of the difficult challenges I know that I've heard a lot from clinicians is how do we actually diagnose this? Could it just be severe eczema? How do we know if it's different? We're
Right.
hoping that this registry will help tease some of that out. Because there are specific symptoms
Yes.
that are related just to TSW that are not eczema. And when you're
Correct.
the person living with it, it's so clear as day. This is not my baseline disease anymore. I mean, with thermal dysregulation, with nerve involvement, with the burning pain in the skin, it's completely different. The
Right.
insomnia, but this can be collected in a way where it will help paint a better picture, a clearer picture,
Correct.
getting all of this patient-reported outcome.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's so important. So, the community, the patients feel often dismissed, right? And this is why the ICD-10 code is a great start for us to lead to these registries and everything like this. But I feel we need to work now, obviously, on communication strategies within the clinic, right? Because now we have an ICD-10 code. What specific strategies coming from an advocacy group and listening to patient stories all the time, what communication strategies can we use to validate a patient's concerns and lived experience, especially when clinical presentations are complex or, like you just said, unconventional? We have to learn as a community how to recognize these things and not dismiss the patients because maybe the patient doesn't know, and they're going to lean to us to help guide them to determine if this is exactly what they have, or is it just their eczema exacerbated. So, what communication strategies can you provide us in regards to having the patient not feeling dismissed?
Sure. Thank you for that question. That's such an important question because I just saw a recent publication put out by the National Eczema Association and NPF, and they were talking about steroid hesitancy. Ask the question of patients, do you feel uneasy about talking about steroid use with your clinician? Over 50% of people said yes. They weren't even
Wow.
talking about TSW per se. They were just talking about steroid hesitancy.
Right.
And I think it's important for clinicians to understand this condition of TSW is spreading like wildfire on the internet. Last time we checked on TikTok, 2.2 billion views of the hashtag TSW. Shocking.
Wow.
Which means a lot of people are concerned. They're not sure of what's going on. Many of them are afraid because they've been using these medications for years. So they think, oh no, what if this is me? So they're going to show up to their doctor and wanting to have a conversation. That being said, there are also a lot of stories of people, you know, talking about how they've been dismissed by their medical professional. And when you're suffering already and afraid and you feel dismissed and unheard and not believed, that's, you know, adding even more trauma to the situation. Right. And then you really shut down. And then a lot of these patients will just leave the doctor, get out from medical oversight, and now they're trying to navigate this on their own. Mm-hmm. So it really, really, really matters. That first interaction, when that patient comes in and says, hey, I think I might be dealing with TSW. Have you heard about TSW? The best thing that a clinician can do is just stop and start listening.
Right.
And say, we know that this is happening. It is a real condition. Have the conversation, like be willing to engage, number one. And I know it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable on both sides right now. But the fact that that patient can sense a willingness to listen and to learn and just to hear what they're experiencing will go a long, long way.
Right.
Just to feel like you're in a safe place to have the conversation. And then secondly, I would say that terminology really matters. Mm. Because a lot of what we see as patients, now that I'm in patient advocacy, I understand that terms mean something different to doctors than they would to a patient. Like when you see it at face value, like misuse, abuse means something different to a clinician than it does to a patient. How it feels as a patient is you just put the onus back on me. And this was something that was prescribed by a doctor. I was following doctor's orders, but this happened to me. So when we hear terms like, it was, you know, this only happens with misuse and abuse of topical steroids. It feels like insult added to injury, yeah. Right? And then the other piece is the steroid phobia term, which is interesting because I don't know any other drug that has phobia attached to it. But most times, especially the people who are in TSW, they weren't afraid of them. They use these. I personally use them for 26 years. I wasn't afraid of using them. I was afraid of not using them and what would happen to my skin. So it wasn't a phobia. In fact, that feels to a patient like not only, you know, do you have a skin problem, but you have a mental health issue. You know, you have mental illness because you have irrational fear around using a medication. But the fact is we know that this is happening, but we don't know who and when and why. That's a lot of uncertainty. And so of course there's going to be hesitancy to use something that we don't really know. What is appropriate use? Really, what is it? Nobody has done those studies to understand what potency this happens with, when does it happen? It seems like there's a threshold all over the place.
Yeah.
So to use terms that don't put blame, but just try to talk about it as this is something we're learning about in real time, but we're committed to doing this with you and helping you, that will take the temperature down and allow for a real conversation and reestablish any trust that has been broken. So,
right. And when we have that trust, we have that retention.
Yes.
And we're able to treat accordingly and work as a team. Because I do have a lot of patients that come into the clinic and I'm their fifth derm PA or dermatologist, the clinic that they've visited. And I'm thinking, what is happening here? Where is the disconnect happening? And having that trust and establishing that retention wise will help open that communication.
Yes.
Right? And fill that gap. So I think that's great. Great information that you provided us. My final question to you, Kelly, and I think is incredibly important in regards to everybody coming together to help our patients or the patient journey. You have experienced it firsthand. You are the executive director of ITSAN, which is the International Topical Steroid Awareness Network. Mm-hmm. And how can dermatologists better collaborate with these advocacy groups? Mm. In my clinic, I have a book of advocacy groups, and TSW or ITSAN is one of them, where I could refer the patient to scan a QR code and go right to the website, because then I know they're getting the information from a legit resource instead of really going down the rabbit hole on the internet, which is easily done, right? So how can we ensure that we are partnering? What can we do to help support you, right? And help support those who are struggling with this TSW diagnosis.
Thank you for that question. That's absolutely amazing. And I would say the first is what we already talked about by directing patients who believe they have TSW or you're working with to the patient registry to be a part of that. That's a collaboration, not just with us as a group, but really with the community. And it's going to build a lot of trust. And then I would say, check up, if you haven't checked out our website, check it out. ITSAN.org. We have a section for doctors and it has a lot of the literature. We're trying to create a repository of everything TSW on one spot. So not only can physicians go and check it out, but they can also send patients to our website. And by doing that, you're also providing community for that person because they can click in, join our Facebook group that's closed. So it's a safe place. We have over 30,000 people there who are going through this, supporting one another. They can follow our socials to keep up to date with everything that's going on. I'm actually working on a Let's Talk TSW campaign where I'm interviewing doctors to get good vetted medical guidance out there, just like you were saying, the wilds of the internet, where just, it's really hard to be a patient going through this condition because everybody's trying to tell you what to do, and it's hard to know who to trust. So, as an organization, we're trying to partner with physicians to provide content out there for people to really help them navigate through this condition. And then I would say, too, if you have the time, and I know that's limited when you're in the clinic with a patient, but if you can even help patients know how to get good information, where should they look? You know, because yes, we have access to the internet, but where do you look on the internet? You know, go to PubMed. How do you vet if a research study is actually good or not? How do we know what to trust? So as a physician, if you can guide patients a little bit that way and say, hey, make sure you're getting your information from really good sources.
Yeah, I
Because
love
otherwise,
my
how are they
QR
supposed
code
to know?
book. My QR code
Yes.
book is
I love
amazing. And
it.
yeah, I
It's so
have it in
smart.
each room. And, while they're waiting for to be seen, they could kind of glance through it. And I just provide, like Nia and of course ITSAN QR code so the patient can scan it and kind of explore. And then of course, come back with any kind of questions that they see information from that source that I know I can trust. So I can't thank you enough for your voice. I know this has been a labor of love and many, many years of hard work. So I appreciate everything that you're doing to help empower these people to have some answers. And I hope that we can partner with the dermatology community and really elevate that. So thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And one last plug. I'm going to talk about our TSW summit that's coming in July to
Oh,
Atlanta.
yes.
And
Yes,
just wanted
please
to
share.
invite, we're having a Friday, Saturday event for the patient and caregiver community, but we're also inviting healthcare professionals on Friday because we'll be giving an overview of the TSW landscape. We'll be talking all about the current science. We're actually doing a little small NIH study on site. Then we'll have an art exhibit that evening and a reception. So we would love to have dermatologists, physicians assistants, nurses come and join us to interface with the patient community, but also learn, and let's do this together. So just wanted to put that plug in.
I love it. And that information will be on the itsan.org website.
Yes,
Wonderful.
absolutely.
Wonderful. Well,
Well,
I am excited about your summit and really what you're doing for the community. So thank you so much, Kelly. We appreciate you.
thank you so much for having me, Renata.
Like this podcast, have suggestions, or want to participate in future episodes? Contact our team at dtediter@mmhgroup.com. For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.